Johnny's got a good word for us today, so we're going to turn it over to Johnny. Y'all give Johnny a hand this morning, all right?
Thank you. Hey, it's good to be here this morning. This is one of them days I couldn't wait to get into the house of the Lord. It's awful cold out there, ain't it? People that really love the Lord's going to come out today. That's for sure. Let's open up with a word of prayer. We had a friend of mine, April Roper. She passed away last night. I just got the news a few minutes ago, and I had prayed with April over the years, and she had come to church a couple of times and come visit that Temple of the Lord Church once when I was pastoring over there, but she left a mighty young age, really young. So let's be in prayer for the family, and the Lord's laid on my heart to pray for Craig and Johnny. They're way over there in the middle of somewhere. Probably to us, the middle of nowhere. It's way over there. But let's pray for them this morning. Pray for the ones that couldn't make it this morning. Dear Lord, we come to you in prayer this morning. We thank you for putting us on your wake-up list, Father, that we could wake up and serve you today, Father, that you're our first thought. Each and every day, Father, all through the day, Father, that we just think of you as you're thinking of us. Father, we lift up April Roper's family today, Father, that you would comfort them and bring a healing to their lives, Father. It's going to take time to heal when someone leaves, Father. And I pray that you would bring healing in their hearts and lives, Father, that you'd bring the family closer together, Father, than they've ever been in their life, Father. And, Father, we thank you for the time with April, Father. Thank you for the good times, for the time she's came to church, and the many times we've had an opportunity to pray with her, Lord, for we know that she was a child of God. And I pray for the family today, Father. Pray for Johnny and Craig as they're over there and overseas, Father. We don't know what it looks like over there. We don't know what they're into, Father. The way this world is going is just, there's no telling what happens in these other countries, Father. They're just at war with each other. But we pray your protection over them, Father, that you'd bring them back home safely, Father. They could lead many to you. Thank you for the service this morning, Father, at Greater Works. Lord, our brother Chris decided he's going to give it back to you, Father, that you're going to take hold of his life and he's going to walk in your steps, Father, that you could bless him. In Jesus' precious name we ask, Father, we ask you to bless each and every one here today with your word, Father, as the scripture comes out. The scripture has the power, Father, and I pray that you would just speak to our hearts and minds today. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You know something? God gave me a message to speak on this morning. How to control your thoughts. That's hard to do, ain't it? Sometimes that gets really hard to do, is controlling your thoughts. Well, I said, Lord, I need an example of something that might have to do with controlling our thoughts. And the Lord took me to an automobile. Amen. When we own a car, the car has many functions. A fuse box that gives certain things for the power to come on and off. The controls in the car are operated by us. The radio, the AC, the heater, the extra things outside under there, the sensors and things. I don't know how knowledgeable you are of a car, but it's operated by a brain box. Inside that car has a brain box that tells everything how to work. And it relies on the brain box. And there's fuses that comes from the brain box that gives things power to work in the car. You know, we ever had a key of car that you had a key that the key quit working, you had to go get it reprogrammed, which is very expensive. But that key won't turn on and it won't crank that car until it's reprogrammed. And the Lord's gave me that illustration today on sometimes spiritually we can look at our mind as God being our brain box. Amen. He has control of everything. He already has us programmed to do the will of God and to serve him. And our minds are similar, our minds and thoughts are similar to a brain box in a car. It is programmed to do what we want it to do. Amen? It can tell us what to do and what not to do. Your hands won't work until your mind tells it to move. Your feet won't work and take you places until your mind tells it first. So it starts right here. Everything comes right here. We can control our thoughts and we can think about what controls us. We can't control what others think, but we have power to control our thoughts. We ask ourselves, what do I think about myself and others? The Bible says, though a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So whatever we're thinking in here sometimes gives power up here, because the enemy can't go no further than right here. You believe that? He can't go no further than right here. He can't get in your eyes and cause you to see things you don't need to see. He can't get in your mouth and cause you to say things you don't need to say. Nor can he get in your hands and cause you to do things you don't need to do, or your feet and take you places you don't need to go. We have power right here to control our thoughts through the name of Jesus. The Bible says when Jesus was about to be arrested, he said he left us a comforter. He identified the Holy Spirit as the comforter. He said he will teach you all things and bring things into remembrance whatsoever I tell you. So sometimes when we get into situations and we want to just act on our thoughts, we can praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit that says, look, back up. Let's reprogram here. Let me get a hold of these thoughts. Just think right. I remember when I would get into trouble and I'd get inside that jail. You ever had this thought? What was I thinking? What in the world did that thought come from? And I remember when that door slammed a few times, I looked back and said, what in the world was I thinking? I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to go that route. I could have changed my thinking by the way I was thinking. That's the way it has to happen. You have to change it and get a grip on your mind sometimes because it'll wander off. That's the enemy's battleground. That's his war ground. He likes to play right here. And if he can keep your thoughts into something different, the Bible says in the scripture that he deceives even the very elect. That's God's people. He tries to, well, I'll get on with that scripture in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But we open our minds sometimes to things that's not godly. I want to use an illustration, the television. I love television. And I was so happy when I got rid of the cable bill that kept going up and up and up till it reached $190 a month. And I was like, we just ordered $39 a month. But it seems like it keeps growing. Lord, something's wrong with this picture. And we just wanted the Christian channels. But somehow the enemy got in there and he added a few more programs that didn't need the mind, didn't need to see. The eye didn't see. Because the enemy will have you sometime when you glue into it. He'll start planting seeds in your mind of corruption. And it leads on to pornography and all different kinds of things if it takes root. So we have to watch what we put in front of our eyes because it'll be programmed in your mind. I looked it up in a study in the brain a little bit this week. You know, you have an old brain and a new brain. Did you know you have that? Your old brain keeps things in memory. You remember when you scratched your knee when you was a kid, when you ate mud pies? It never left your mind, did it? It may not come up in the new mind all the time unless you decide to go out in the yard and eat mud pies, which I doubt you're going to do that. But your old mind stores the things from your childhood, things of your past. And that's where the enemy likes to hang out. He likes to get in the old mind. Because now we got a mind of Christ that's been renewed. He's not welcome here, amen? He's not welcome in the new mind. But he likes to stay in the old mind where he can bring up old iniquities that you done got victory over. He wants to bring up the past things that's happened to you when you was this young. It don't take but a minute when you can remember back at something that happened to you in your childhood and it was very tragic. What happens then? You all of a sudden start feeling bad, don't you? You start getting a feeling of depression and anxiety and pretty soon it'll turn to anger because you can't figure out why it happened. You can't fix it. That's how the enemy does in the mind. He'll start planting things and he'll bring things back from the old mind so he can depress you and keep that mind of Christ out of it. That's what he's after. He does not want you to have that mind of Christ because he knows you're going to think right then. And he won't have no power over our mind. Let's go to the next page right here. I got a few pages here, so y'all just bear with me. I'll try to get us out of here. It's cold anyway. Let's just hang out. Yeah. Many people are what they think because of the way they think, all right? A lot of our choices is what we think. We bring it on ourselves a lot of times. And I know when I used to get into trouble a lot, and I'd have to go down there and visit that probation officer every week and give them my money. And I'm like, Lord, I can't stand this. And I didn't have a license, so I had to hitchhike there. And they didn't care if you stole an airplane as long as you was there on time. So I would get in there, and I'd get in that probation office, and I'd sit there, and my mind would go to thinking, I'm going to have to walk in the rain when I leave here. And the Holy Spirit was still active in my life, even though I was in the crazy world, you might say. He said, if you had listened, if you hadn't did this, if you'd have got your mind right and your thinking right, you wouldn't be sitting down here looking at it rain when you got to walk all the way to Varnell. Sometimes we can avoid future trouble if we just put on that thinking cap. And I think that armor of God is really something we need to get interested in every day. Not only is there a battle, but that helmet of salvation will guard them mind and thoughts. It'll help you to think good things, not stinking thinking. It'll help you to think good things. He said, because the way that we think, we need to be programmed to think like Christ. Amen? There's stuff in life we need to pull the fuse from. You right? Sometimes we get in there and we get in. I've been working on cars sometime, and I just stick any old fuse in it, turn it back on. But I like to looking at the owner's manual, and they said, well, it's only a 20 amp in here, and you're putting a 5. It's not going to have bright headlights. So sometimes we have to make sure that we're putting the right amps into the box to get the right production from it and get the right power from it. So we have to put our right thinking in Christ. If we're going to have the mind of Christ, we got to line it up with His words. Amen? Yes. They said we respond to what we think. Sometimes we respond to what we think. I've been going down the road sometimes, and I'll get to a red light, and I'll pull out, and somebody over beside me wants to get out before I do. And they'll give you a piece of their mind real quick. And you look over there, and they're giving you all kind of ugly faces. And they're wanting to stick their finger up. I don't know why that one finger it means so much to people when you use them all. I ain't telling. I'm keeping the mind of Christ. I'm going to keep the mind of Christ here. But it's one of your fingers that people love. Well, anyway, when you see people like that, you can just see the reaction on their face that they're just steamed up real mad. And then they go by you and just go on about their business. I'm like, well, they did all that for nothing. All that trouble, they got all mad and angry just because they pulled out before I did. They need to get a hold of their thoughts here. Amen. But first thought you want to think is, look at them, what they did to me. I'm not going to put up with that. They shouldn't have done me that way. This, both of us are allowed to go. But we get control of our thoughts. And even the little things like that on the highways will get the enemy triggered up in your mind and start destroying. I want to go here. Before we leave today, if you've got pencil and paper, God's gave me 8 things that will help you. I'm going to give it to the end of the message. I'm going to wait at the end of the message. Will help you gain control of your thoughts, okay? These 8 things that God's gave me are very powerful in your life. And they will help you to gather your thoughts and have control of your thoughts. So if you got pen and paper, get it ready. We're not having class this morning, but these right here are very important. And there's too many of them. 8 of them be hard to remember, so I wrote them all down. But these really will help you, and God gave me some really good points. I want to go to Colossians 3, verses 1 through 8, and read this. Colossians 1 through 8. I'll give you a minute to get there. This is good. This is how God gives us the beginning of getting a hold of our thoughts right here. Everybody there, say amen. Amen. If you being risen with Christ, remember he said if now, remember he put if in it. If is a big word to be so little, it is. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. You know, when we got saved and we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, that old man died. We were raised up. Amen. We were raised up out of the old life that we had. For me, I was raised up out of the drugs and the alcohol and the wild living I was living. He raised me up out of that. For the other thing was dead. Amen. He said it being dead. That we seek things above now. I got tired of looking down my whole life. I started looking up now. Amen. Thank God. Set your affections on things above and not things on the earth. Now, what he said, the affections on things above, not on the earth. Guess what's going to happen to the earth in the end? He's going to take a match to it. So if we set our mind on those things, it's not going to last. It's going to be destroyed. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Amen. He's going to come get us. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, I can't say that word, Father, and covenant which is idolatry. He's telling some things right here got to get rid of. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. All those things will bring trouble on you. You know, when I would get in trouble with the Lord, I'd got to where, like when I would get in jail, I used to have a mouth when I'd be drinking, and I'd pick up 5 more charges in the car. And by the time I got into jail, I'd get a couple more. I'd get a public drunk, and I'd have a obstruction for an officer, disorderly conduct. I just wouldn't mind. But I got to thinking, look, after a while, when it come up to time to make bond, and I couldn't make bond because I'd done got so many charges on the way there, I started thinking, I need to quit this. This ain't good. They just keep writing over here. I need to start thinking different here. And that's the way the Lord, I think, Lord, I don't want no more warrants on me with you. It's bad enough I got in trouble for the sin I committed. I want to repent now before I end up adding any more warrants. And I believe sometimes the Lord, He takes warrants against us when we sin against Him. And I've learned just not get so many. I had to do some thinking, amen? Start doing some thinking. In which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. You notice that's past tense. I'll read that again. In which you also walked sometime and you lived in them. Past tense. He said He raised us up, so we're not walking them anymore. But now, you also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth, and lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, He didn't talk about putting off the old man, everything that came with it. That's what He's saying, with his deeds. Everything went with it. Put it off. Get rid of it. Because we've been raised up in Christ, now we knew. Amen? And have put on a new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him. The Bible says we are created in Christ's image and in His likeness. In His image means He came here with a body just like we got. And in His image means in His likeness means we need to be Christ-like in everything. The only way we can be Christ-like is have the mind of Christ. We've got to think what the Scripture teaches us and think like Christ. So I thought, you know, I knew everything about Elvis Presley and all these rock and roll singers, how they sing and when they died, how many children they had. But how much did I know about Christ that died for me? So I started studying the book. Lord, I want to be like You. You said I need to be like You. So I started studying the book and I thought, man, this dude right here is good. He is all right. When people would just cuss Him and spit on Him, He said, Father, forgive them. And he just kept walking right on, forgiving the next man, healing the next man. And you can imagine what he went through back in them days. And all he was doing was trying to say it's okay to love and not hate. It's okay to give and not take. And the people just knocked him down everywhere he went. And I thought, Lord, I want to be like You, but I don't know about all that knocking down stuff. Right. But I've learned that out here, what he meant by that. That you'll be persecuted for righteous sake. Going out here giving out these tracts. I have been blessed out. Trust me. I have been cussed to the core. Been run off. Run off everywhere I'm going. Jesus said. I said, Lord, look at that. That man just cussed me like a sailor, Lord. He said, well, they didn't nail me to the tree. Get up and go on. You got it going on. They just cussed you a little bit. But I said, Lord, I want to be Christ-like. He said, yeah, okay. It's yours. And I've suffered persecution, which doesn't bother me. I just feel sorry for the person that was giving me all that stuff he just said to put off up here. But I felt sorry for that person because they were blinded. Satan likes to blind the mind of people. And he'll try to blind the mind of believers. The Scripture says that. He'll try to blind the mind of even the believers. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. He don't sleep because we do. He's still going to try to kill, steal, and destroy anybody he can. Where there is no Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor circumcised, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. He's in us all. Even the one that bless us out, He's still in them. But put therefore on the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long suffering. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do you. That's kind of hard sometimes it is to say I'm sorry when somebody just don't quit. But you look back and say, well, Lord, I wanted to be like You. So I have to do it. And after a while, it just becomes used to the love that God has, that Jesus died for us. That love is so big in us that it just goes to us. To the next person. That's God's plan. That love will just continue to go on and go on and go on. And we can help that love grow by the way we think of other people. And He says it right here. To love one another. Forgive one another. If you have all, forgive them as Christ forgave us. Because you might win that person and they'll carry that right on down to the next person. And pretty soon we may have a loving community. That's what the plan is. And above all, these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Amen? That's great. Let me get on with the next one. This was good. I know one. When I used to have some thoughts about this, I'm gonna use my Sandy's marriage. Okay, we first got married. We moved in together, and we moved into this house up here, and we were having this. The enemy was just attacking us everywhere we went, and I knew it was God's plan because the enemy was trying too hard to destroy it. So I kept hanging on, and we'd get to the points like, Lord, can you get an annulment? Is that legal? I want to quit. I said, Lord, we knew each other 5, 10, 15 years ago, and we got along better than this when we weren't even married. And he said, well, look, you got to look here. She's changed since you've been gone 10 years. You've changed since she's been gone 10 years. You've got to get to know each other again. And you both got the mind of Christ now. I can work with you. You didn't have it before, and she did. And I had apologized for about starving her to death for all the fasting she did. But he said, I said, Lord, you know, we're fighting in here. And then I read the scripture in the Proverbs. He said, it's better to get in the corner of a housetop in the roof than with a brawling woman. I said, Lord, we live in a mobile home. What am I going to do now? I can't get in the rooftop. So he took me on over to the New Testament. He said, well, you go get in your closet and pray. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to go get in the closet. But she's got stuff packed up everywhere in there, and I can't get in my closet. So I said, Lord, what happens now? He said, knock and it shall be open. So I come out the closet when I heard the knock. And I said, Lord, I hope this is you and not the city police. But having thoughts that God would make things work in our life. And we held on with it. Amen. We held on to it. And now the enemy tries to get in this every once in a while now. But once you start thinking what God teaches us in His Word, how to be overcomers and have the mind of Christ. And I'm like, Lord, you wouldn't throw her out in the yard. You wouldn't tell her to pack her stuff up. And He said, if you're going to have the mind of Christ, you got to love them and forgive them. You got to work things out for the good. Amen. And you got to just keep on doing. He thou shall endure shall be saved. The same shall be saved, the Bible said. So we started working out our relationship in prayer. We came to the right mind. We seen what the devil was doing, and we knew that God had a great plan, or he wouldn't be attacking it so hard. The enemy's not going to bother something that's already his. He's going after something that God's going to bless. And you know, and it turned out to be a great plan. Just every once in a while, he'll try to sneak in on us. But you know, he gives us a knowledge. The Holy Spirit gives us knowledge and gives us eyesight too, that we can see when he's coming. Now, devil thinks he's really smart. He'll make you think that he can just pull the wool over your eyes. And he's that powerful that he can just blind you anytime he wants to. But he cannot. He gives us knowledge to know. We're not going to get in the car. It ain't got no gas in it, are we? We sit in it all day long, but it ain't going nowhere. And finally, we'll figure out that it has no gas in it, and we're not going nowhere. But God gives us the mind that we can see things, okay? That's why the Holy Spirit that lives inside us, He's our enabler. He's our direction, our hope. And He shows us things. You know, and I wish back many years ago that I would have listened to what He showed me. And I used an illustration one time that a guy telling him about robbing banks. I said, you know, when you're about to rob a bank, the only thing you're thinking about is money. That's all the devil's got your minds on is money. You're not going to look at the teller's dress. You're not going to look at the color of the carpet in the bank. You're not even going to look and see it. You're not even going to look and see if the curtains is open. All you want is that money. That's the only picture you got in your mind. But when you get in the back of the police car, the devil pulls out that picture of the prison and says, this is where you're going, and you don't even get to keep the money. But if the Holy Spirit lives inside you, I promise you, he said, no, son. Don't go in there. Get away from that crowd. Get out of there. You know what's wrong, and you know what's trouble. Listen to me. Get a hold of your thoughts, amen, and not go in there. The Bible tells us that he will teach us all things and bring things into remembrance. And I know that he will because I've learned from my mistakes now. And I went through many of them. I was telling a girl the other night, I said, yeah, when I went to that Ringo jail and stayed 15 months up there for him right at the end of mine and Sandy's relationship the first time, I sat in there like a wash machine. I mean, I sat in that jail and it hit me when I got in there. All my thoughts started happening. Well, I've just lost everything. And sometimes we don't think till afterwards, right? So I'm sitting in jail, and I felt like I was a wash machine, and he just kept running it through the spin cycle. Just kept going. Here I was, John, you need to get rid of this. This is what's going on. This ain't God. You got to get rid of this. I'm like, Lord, how many times? Turn this washer off. Amen. But he brought everything before my eyes. And he said, look here, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get this out of your life while you're here. I'm going to cleanse you from this right here. I'm going to run a double rinse cycle on this one because you're hard of hearing on that one. But he cleaned me up there. And he took my mind through everything. But I had to get a grip on my mind here and line it up with what was in my heart. And I had to line it up with God's word, or I'd probably still be in there. But you know, we don't have to go to those. We don't have to go to drastic measures. Sometimes we don't have to go drastic measures for Jesus to say, I love you. I promise you, if you just listen and let God control your thoughts and get a grip on them, he'll take care of you. We respond to what we think. Set your mind on Christ. Amen. Let me go to them. I've seen some people that's very beautiful. Amen. They're very beautiful. And you ever met people like this? They'll think, I'm ugly. Every time they look in the mirror, they think, am I ugly? Do I look okay? You ever see like that? And people will be this big around. Am I fat? I feel like I'm just overweight. That's what people will think. The enemy will get in your mind, he'll condemn you with that. Put something in your mind that happened when you was a kid, and he'll wait till you're 30 to bring it out and start corrupting you. He will. He'll take a hold of your mind. That's that old brain back there that he's living in. And he's bringing up your past all the time. He likes to remind us of our past. When he does that, just remind him of his future. He's going to the eternal lake of fire. But you know, when we have a brain box, this is God's brain box right here. This is what he works out of. And he's already got us programmed. He said, I formed you in your mother's belly before you was even born. He already had us programmed before we was even born to do what he wants us to do and to serve him and to live a righteous life. And we can, but it starts right here. We have to get control of the mind. When we tell people they'll never amount to anything, that's not a godly thought, is it? 90% of people end up in prisons thinking they'll never amount to nothing. Because their words have power. They have power to hurt people and harm people. The Bible says we can speak blessings or cursings. It's up to us. And them blessings come out of here, and the cursings come from up here too. It all starts right here. He binds the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot do, and they don't want to or not do, and deceives the believers. People are deceived by what they hear. Satan don't work on the arms or the legs. He works on the mind. He will remind us of something that happened years ago to try to blind us from seeking us of having a mind of Christ. Let's go to another one here, a reprobate mind. I started studying that one because I thought a few times I might have been a reprobate mind. And I always thought once you hit a reprobate mind, you're done. Well, I started studying a little bit, and the scripture says that over in Romans 1:28. It says a reprobate mind is someone who says, I'm not going to change my mind. This is who I am. This is how I'm going to live. Not even God can change my mind. I'm going to be me. And I'm never going to change. That's a reprobate mind. That's what the Bible says, a reprobate mind. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, said he'll turn you over to the world to do those things which are convenient. He'll say, look here, I pulled you out of the world. But somehow you keep wanting to go back and your mind's not changing. I've seen some people that jail didn't change them. Sicknesses didn't change them. Death and families did not change them. And all those things I believe that's God's way of saying, look here, I held you out of the casket today. You're not dead. I've kept you in a family relationship. I've kept your mind right. But you can see the other people that don't listen at the troubles they go to. And some of them will go all the way to extremes before they realize that, look here, I need to get in touch with the Lord. And I told a fellow this one night I went out to visit him. I preached at Cookson Creek Church a couple years back for a New Year's service. And we left about 3 o'clock or 2:30 in the morning. And the Lord said, I want you to go by this certain house on the way. So I get by this house and I pull in. And there's a lady throwing her daughter's clothes out in the yard at 3 o'clock in the morning. She had just got back. She had let somebody else drive her car down the road. He didn't have a license. He ran it in the ditch, and the cops are fixing to take her car. So she has just got back, run down there, taking the route for it. She gets back in, and I don't understand why I'm losing everything. My power's getting cut off Monday, and they're going to cut the water off pretty soon. I ain't even got the rent this month. I know why. You let a demon in the house. And it didn't come in with just one. It started growing and growing and growing. Demons are like the headlights. Everybody in the house is going to start scratching before it's over with. I promise you. They're going to attack everything in the house and destroy it. But I said, look, you got to look around and listen. You got to get a hold of your thoughts here. Start looking. Where did this come from? That's what we want to think. Where did these thoughts come from? Why is the enemy destroying everything I got? Last week we was doing good. The bills was paid. The kids were minded. And the cars are running good. Now all of a sudden the refrigerator quit working. The landlord's outside with an eviction notice. Your water's turned off. Your power's turned off. And your kids don't even want to come back home. Something happened wrong. That was a devil moved in your house somehow. And he found him a way in there, whether it was drugs. And I looked in there in the bedroom and I went by there to pray with you. I said, the Lord sent me to pray with you. And to set you, tell you that, look, the enemy is destroying your house. He's eating it up worse than the pesticides outside there, eating it up. And he's destroying everything. Here was a family, a daughter's clothes thrown out in the yard. Well, I said, look here, God can put things back together, but you got to recognize who done this first. Remember what it says in the scripture, that a man planted a vineyard and it was good, but while they slept, the enemy came and planted tares against the wheat. And they asked him, said, who did this, Lord? He said, the devil did it. He said, how can we fix it? Should we go ahead and pull the tares from the wheat? Separate the wheat from the tares? He said, no, if you do it, you'll make a mess out of it. In due time, when I reap the harvest, I'll separate them. So sometimes, you know, we have to recognize, look here. And I went to this house. I said, you can't see what the devil's done. You just told me your power is fixing to go off. Your water's going to be cut out. You ain't got the rent money. Your daughter just, she's just, her clothes are out in the front yard. Your car just got wrecked on the side of the road. That's evidence that the enemy's destroying somewhere. And it come in somehow. So we have to get back and look at the source. I like to find the source of the problem, don't y'all? I want to go to the source of it. What caused this to happen? And sometimes it's what comes in. Bible said it's not what comes out, it's what goes in. Amen? That defiles the body. So we have to get a grip on ourselves. And say, look here, if I bring this person over here that's on drugs, you can look for some demons to move in with him. And the rent's going to go up. It's going to go plumb up to where you ain't going to be able to pay it because you're going to get evicted. You won't need no money. That's what happened when the demon comes in. So we have to gather our thoughts and say, Lord, I need to ask you first. I've come now as a Christian. I've learned to say, look, Lord, you want me to buy this car or not? You want me to go downtown and witness on this street or you want me to go to Chatsworth? What do you want me to put on this morning? Work clothes or church clothes? Amen. I've learned to be fully dependent on the Lord because He teaches me the way to go. I was like Peter. He had to lead me around by the ear. And He had to come pick me up. I remember many times I'd think about the Lord when He'd be up there fishing. Jesus would be out fishing on a nice, cool day. And He's catching fish. And God would say, son, you're going to have to put your pole up and go down there and get Johnny West. He's in trouble again. And He said, well, I'm just catching good fish. But you know, sometimes I've learned to look, avoid all that. Get your mind right. Get that thinking. Get a mind of Christ. And He won't have to come bail you out of situations and circumstances over and over and over again if we put our mind on Christ. He binds the mind. The Bible said the enemy binds the minds of the believers. Let me go to another page. I'm trying to hurry up here. Let me see what time it is. Oh, we're good. And Genesis 5 said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. That's Genesis 6:5. Psalms 10:4 said, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not at all in his thoughts. Let's talk about the wicked people. Praise God, we got God in our life. Amen. Thank you. He controls our thoughts. Amen. Hey, we don't have to be reprogrammed all the time. He keeps us going. Amen. Yes. Psalms 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands for even the thoughts of his heart to all generations, thinking godly thoughts. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. God can get in there. Yes. He can go further than what we think. Amen. God knows our thoughts. The Lord knows the thoughts of man. They're all vanity. Psalms 94:11. He gives us good thoughts that comforts the soul, the Bible says. In Psalms 94:19, in the multitude of my thoughts, of thy thoughts within me, thy comforts delights my soul. God said, if you think right, I give you peace in your soul. Give you comfort. That's good. That's a bonus, you know, when you get your thinking right. Psalms 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Proverbs 2:5 says, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit." Proverbs 15:26, "The thoughts of the wicked are in abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." Abomination, that's not a good word. It's a big word, and it's not good. I've read that 2 or 3 times in the Bible. God don't, he don't like that. Romans 2:2, "And God, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Renew our minds. I think, you know, when we get up in the morning, you have a computer, you have to reboot it and get it going or wait on it to come on. The Lord wakes us up every morning. He's already got our mind ready to be renewed. We're going to start a fresh day. Amen. That's why he said, don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. I'm going to renew your mind for what I want you to know today. I'm going to program what I need you to know today. Don't worry about tomorrow. May not even be here tomorrow. And he's going to let them old yesterday troubles and all them things be deleted in our mind. Amen. He's good. Amen. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Think on them. Isaiah 26, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind stays on thee because he trusts in him." He said, "I'm going to give you perfect peace now. I'm going to comfort your soul. I'm going to give you perfect peace. And I'm going to bless you and renew your mind. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The Bible says a double-minded mind is unstable in all of his ways. And we're going to get on over here. You got your pens ready? In closing, I want to give this one scripture right here. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and of the spirit and the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart." You know what he said right here? Look, I can go deep in there in places that you don't know. You don't know what you're going to think today. You know, sometimes I get up and I feel like I'm going to get out here and just go to church today. 5 minutes later, I feel like going back to bed. You ever had those thoughts? Wonder where they came from. That's right. He got in there somewhere. And he's trying to keep you from discerning what's right. The Bible says, look here, "And the thoughts and intents of the heart, he will give us discernment." I was going to preach a message, discernment, up here a few weeks ago. I had studied a great message on it. And I was put about 2 weeks into this message on discernment. And the Lord said, "Wait, I want you to do this one right here." I said, "Okay, Lord." So the devil come at me again this morning, try to get me to preach on the one of the talents, the man with the talents in Matthew 25. I said, "Okay, Lord, here's what we'll do. I will preach that message. I don't know for sure which one you're telling me, so I need discernment here. I need you to get a hold of my thoughts." He said, "Okay." When I get down to Greater Works this morning, he said, "I want you to preach on the talents there. And put on the how to control your thoughts at relationship." I said, "You're good. You're good." So Buddy Chris decided to give his life back to the Lord today and find out what his talent is in life. So God had a plan. Amen. Okay, let's get our pencils out. Here we go. Here's questions to ask yourself that'll help you control your thoughts. Number one, the Spirit of God helps us to make wise decisions. As long as you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have the power to control what you think. Okay, number two. Okay, the Spirit of God helps us to make wise decisions. We must have the Spirit of God, is what that's saying. Must have the Spirit of God and walk in His ways and serve Him in spirit and truth. That's how you get answers, if you serve Him in spirit and truth. I know some, you know, God knows what you're thinking. We may go home and you get at home and you think about something and all of a sudden you, "That preacher wasn't no good down there. I didn't need to hear all that." Well, I didn't hear it. Amen. I didn't hear it. I don't hear it when we go home and we argue with our family members or we do things outside the church. We're all good here, but there's thoughts that goes on when we leave here. You know, we feel peace when we're in the house of God. The enemy don't really attack you so hard in here. Because the Holy Spirit's in here and he keeps him outside in the parking lot, I guess. But the devil don't care to go to church with you. He don't. He'll walk right through the door. I've learned that. He'll come through there and say, "Don't you look what she's wearing?" And look, I saw her with him last week. And can you believe what they said? He loves to come to church and cause a war. But I believe the relationship of church, he's not allowed here. He's evicted. He's been served. And he can't come back. Amen. But like I say, you don't know what your thoughts are when you leave here, though. What's in your mind. So it's good to know that the Holy Spirit will control your mind if you allow Him. He will guide you in the right direction. He will help you to speak godly things. You'll turn your eyes off to that filth in the world. You'll start turning it off. That's evidence that the Holy Spirit lives inside you when you start cutting off them nasty channels and get glued into something that you can learn from. And you have to watch some kind of preaching now. You got to make sure you got that helmet on. Because these preachers get on there now, and there's, I remember Robert Tilton one time, and I was just young. He gets up there on the TV, and we had one of them old black and white TVs when I was growing up. He said, if you'll send me $20, I'll send you a prayer cloth, and it's going to fix all your problems. I was just 16, 17 years old. I thought, well, that sounds pretty good. He's going to fix all my problems. Put your hand on the screen, he'd say, and the power of God is going to heal you. If your arm's broke, put it up here. I said, okay, I'm going to put my hand up there. Well, and I put it up there, and Mom said, get your hand off the TV. If you want to get it on there, dust it or something. But I thought this man right here, he's talking like he got all kind of power to heal and all this stuff. Send him $20. Make that pledge now. And I got to thinking, I said, Lord, a sheet's about 6 by 5, I guess. That's an average sheet size. If he cuts it up in 3 by 5 square, he made a killing off a sheet. He don't need my money. He's making good money. But people will get on there. You know, there's televangelists. I'm not going all the way into that. But they'll get on there and they'll try to deceive you and get you hooked into that. But they'll start right here. They'll show you people that's been in a wheelchair get up and jog through the church 30 minutes after they've been there. They've been healed. But they'll say, look here, make sure you make a pledge now. You got to watch out what you goes in your mind. You got to watch out what you listen to and what you hear. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit that says, look, turn that off. Turn that off. Watch Barney or something. Get that off. But here, number two. Okay, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, what I was just talking about. Listen to the choice that comforts us to make us use wise decisions. I'll read it again. Listen to the choice that comforts us to make wise decisions. And who is that? He said he's the Comforter. He's the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the voice of the Lord tells you before you make a rash decision. I used to say, saw somebody said, don't make a permanent decision in a temporary moment. It's kind of get you in trouble sometimes. All right, number three. Number three. Where will these thoughts lead me? If I'm praying, Lord, how can I control my thoughts? Ask myself, where will these thoughts lead me? All right, we'll go to another one. Are these thoughts I'm thinking spiritually acceptable to God in my life? Are these thoughts that I'm having, are they spiritually accepted by God? Is this what brings glory to God? Is this what will help me to grow spiritually? Are these thoughts I'm thinking spiritually acceptable to God and my life? Okay, the main one right here. This is a very important one. Where will these thoughts lead me? Amen. If we stop, look, and listen, say, look, where will these thoughts lead me? Before I make a decision, before I act on these thoughts, where will it lead me? Then God will start showing you the future picture. He'll start showing you what's above, what's ahead of you. Okay, here's another one. Where will these thoughts lead me? Okay, are these thoughts I'm thinking spiritually acceptable to God and in my life? Tell me when you got that one. Are these thoughts I'm thinking spiritually acceptable? Or if they please God, you might say. Are the thoughts I'm thinking, are they going to please God? Because He's our Creator. He's our Maker. He gave us this mind. So we got to use it for His glory. We got to work it like He tells us how to work it. Okay. Here's another one. Will these thoughts build me up or tear me down? That's a good one. Will it help me to grow in the Lord? Will it bring me down? Will it take me back out in the drug world, the thoughts that I'm having? Or will it help me get closer to God? Great, great one right here. Will these thoughts build me up or tear me down? Remember what he said a while ago? You've been raised up. So we need thoughts that's going to raise us up. Amen? That's a good way to discern them. Okay. Number six, could I share these thoughts with someone else? The thoughts that I'm having, are they good enough thoughts that I could share with someone else that might help them to come to know Jesus? Or help them in their problems that they're having right now? Could I share these thoughts with someone else and they be productive in somebody else's life? And here's the question we always want to ask. Where did these thoughts come from? Are they good or are they evil? That don't take much to figure that one out. We know what's good and evil. But sometimes we get thinking sometimes and we'll put off what the consequences are, and we just act in a moment and pretty soon we're overtaken. Remember he said he deceives the minds. So we got to watch out for that weasel. Okay. Number seven. Do I feel guilty or convicted by these thoughts? No, that would be number one right there. Do I feel guilty or convicted by these thoughts? If you feel guilty or convicted, get rid of that thought. It needs to go because it's not of God. Do I feel guilty or convicted by these thoughts? Okay, number eight. Do these thoughts fit who I am as a follower of Jesus Christ? Will they fit your image of Christ? Will they fit you as a follower of Christ? Will they help you to get closer to God or will they separate you? Those are very important right here. That was in the conclusion that I had. And I hope it's your own. There's good questions to ask yourself. And those questions right there will help you get in control of your thoughts. Because you'll think, Lord, should I do this or should I not do this? Is this right for me or is it not? Should I stay home today or should I go somewhere? Help control my thoughts. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for your word today, Father. Thank you that you are our programmer, Father. You are the one that give us this mind, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for enlightening our mind today, Father, that we can see clearly now that you are the one that wants us to be a mind, have us a mind of Christ, Father. You want us to live like you, think like you, walk like you, talk like you, act like you, Father. Because, Lord, we thank you so much for teaching that. Lord, we weren't there the day that you got killed and nailed on that tree. We weren't there to witness it, Father. But from what we read in the Scriptures, Father, we know that it's true. And we want to be Christ-like, no matter if it comes all the way to death, Father. We want to follow you all the way. We don't want to be like Peter, denied you. We're sure not going to be like Judas and sell you out, Father. But help us control our thoughts everywhere we go, Father. Help us. You remind us if we start to do something wrong, Lord, get on us right then. Help us get it fixed right then that we don't fall into judgment. We don't fall into trouble. And we don't fall into separation from you. Father, we ask today if there's anybody today in this room today, Father, that's having some trouble in their mind, that the enemy's just got them bound down, just keep putting more awful thoughts in their mind, depression thoughts, anxiety thoughts, giving up thoughts, Father. We pray today, Lord, that if they need prayer, just come right up here in this corner and we'll pray with them. Lord, you said that you would heal our minds, Father, that you would give us the mind of Christ. You would renew our minds. You would help us to think godly thoughts, Father, and that we could be more productive, that what other people see in us, that they may want to get a hold of it, Father, and you change their mind also, Father, that they could go on and take it to their families that don't get along, Father, that can't stand each other, all the time at each other's throats, Father. Maybe that mind of Christ would come through somebody here to go through somebody else and it go into the house. And you could just flourish it, Lord. You could heal that house. And instead of the demon destroying everything that's in the house, Father, we ask you, Lord, if you'd go before us and prepare the way, Father, that you'd use our minds to help other people to come to know you. Use our minds to help us have a better reputation here, Lord Jesus. Use our mind to help us, Lord Jesus, that we could speak godly things to people, that we could forgive people as we read in the Scripture, and forgive them, Lord Jesus, from the heart. We ask you to bless us today, Father, as we go out this door. Father, you know where we're going. You know what we're going to think for an hour from now. Just like in the Scripture of Daniel when he interpreted the dream, Father. You were so good right there. You even told Daniel what the king was thinking about before he went to sleep. That's pretty good. That's good thinking. And now, Father, we pray that you'd give us that mind, Father, that we could think ahead. Think of what we're going to do today, Father, in a godly way, that you're always with us. Pray for Craig and Johnny again, Father, that you just bless them. And Lord, keep them safe and out of harm's way, Father. And we thank you for your message today, Father. Bless each and every one of us today, Father. We praise you and love you and thank you for the mind of Christ. It's helped us to grow so much. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.